You had something to complain about last week.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and you cut me off so rudely.
Well, I just thought we had something.
Which...
yeah, turns out no.
Okay, where do you fall on this? Mm-hmm. You're making a left turn at a stop sign in a, you know, zone where the speed limit is 50, and you're the one making the left. You make your left turn, and you're going straight, and a car approaching honks at you, but you've already made your left turn, and you've counted to two, and you're driving the other direction, and then they honk, and you're trying to figure out, are they honking at you, and did they honk at you because you made a left turn, but you were nowhere close to their vehicle, and how loose and fast are you on honking your horn?
On me honking my horn?
Yeah, like if someone turned left in front of you that was, you know, let's say, you know, not close to your vehicle, but... You know, and they don't have to slow down or anything, but let's say close-ish. Are you someone who honks your horn in that situation or doesn't honk your horn in that situation?
I have a very strict policy on that guy.
Okay.
That guy. That guy's a
The guy who honks or the guy who turned?
The guy who honks.
Absolutely.
Total.
I do not honk unless there is imminent danger. Now, again, this was a... Nowhere close. But then I don't even know. I'm just assuming that this guy's an idiot. Oh, and they're driving a minivan. So I hate minivans too. So
bit of probably busy listening to the two hosers. Wouldn't that be ironic?
Is there a name for like a person who I don't know judges people based on whether they drive a minivan or not? It's no other vehicle. I'm okay with every other vehicle. I'm okay even with. The guys that jack up their station wagons and put monster truck wheels on it. I'm okay with that guy. I have a problem with minivans in general. So sorry about that to our listeners if they drive minivans.
We drive a minivan. Hello and welcome to episode 371 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is...
Vancouver Adam.
Oh, Van-Ad.
See, I did it different this time.
It's fine. I was just in my head. I was thinking, should we be doing this different? And no. We're the old-fashioned way was the way.
Yeah, sorry. Next time I'll just go with Adam.
Vancouver Adam, that's pretty good. That's all right.
Yeah. Now you know where I'm from and my name.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Burnaby Joe.
Sure, yeah.
I couldn't think of it. I was like, where's Joe Sakic from?
Yeah, Burnaby Joe.
And first
Joe.
Of all, his name's not even Sakic. I'm sure it's Sakic, but they said Sakic. So, you know. I'm just saying, every Croatian guy I know with the C at the end of his name, which P.S. is all of them, it's always a ch sound. So it's going to be Sakic.
Okay, all right.
So there you go, Burnaby Sakic. What were we talking about? Why were you talking about Croatians?
No, you got off track.
You're making it weird now. You know where you can buy your Vancouver Adam hockey jersey?
Where?
Amazon.
Oh, I didn't know.
Probably sold out. Probably sold out, though. Yeah. Let's be honest. But whatever you do buy, click through our site. You go to our site, and you'll see on the right-hand side. Or if you're on a mobile, I haven't talked about this in a while. People have asked to get the links to the top of the page. I can't. So you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom of our homepage. You'll find the Amazon links. And you click through there, Amazon it up, and we get a little bit of that and helps keep us going. Much appreciated.
Okay.
What's going on, Adam?
I'd like to say a lot.
You got to see the light at the end of the tunnel here, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping that spring comes early.
Well, yeah.
You'll like this. They started, well, they haven't started yet, but by the time this airs, we'll just about have started the winter baseball training. There's some training options for baseball. So still in the midst of hockey season, and yeah, baseball is crossing over. So we're going to do that. There's a once a week hitting clinic that Jack's going to go to, and there's going to be a skills once a week clinic. And so he's excited. So we signed him up for that. And the very next day he wore the, Clayton Kershaw jersey and his LA Dodgers hat to school. And he's loving baseball, excited for that to start again.
And is that indoors or is that in that indoor cage? The batting
is in the cage, and the skills is at a gym.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Look at that. I'm looking forward to hearing about that.
So there's that. That's what's interesting in the next little while. So I mean, and the reason to me that's interesting is that means that not too long before spring and baseball outside starts, so I'm looking forward to the outside and to doing baseball. I'm kind of tired of dank hockey arenas at 8:15 on a Saturday. So,
yeah, no, I think everybody is.
Yeah,
not really. There's a certain charm to it, though.
There is. It's a long, long season, though, starting in September and going until March break. It's just hockey just seems to never end. Oh, and then you play through the spring as well if you like. So.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah. But so his coach on the skills thing, is that same guy, David?
I would imagine so. They don't tell you on the website, but he's really, as far as I know, the only skills provider. So I'm pretty sure he'll do the hitting one anyways. I'm not sure if they'll have someone else that does the skills one. Last year he did these clinics, and it was Dave for everything. So yeah, Dave's really good.
So I'm just saying, heads up, I don't know if Jack can wear his Dodgers paraphernalia.
Why?
Well, David, I'm pretty sure was drafted by the Yankees.
Yeah. Jack doesn't like the Yankees.
Well, bring it up first day. See what happens.
Yeah.
although he never made it to the show, so maybe he doesn't like the Yankees either.
Yeah. I don't think he has really a problem with the Dodgers. Jack had a couple of Dodgers things last year, and he just said he appreciated him wearing the Major League apparel.
All right. Well, sorry for bringing it up.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, same thing over here. We're doing baseball in the gym. The kids will start T-ball. It was going to happen this week, but in the gym as well. But then it's a school holiday. We have the February week off for some reason. And unless you're going to Mallorca or something, I don't know why you have a week off in February. Let's save it for good weather. But that's what they do. They do that over here.
Okay.
And so all the gyms are closed. So I think we'll fire it up. The following week, we'll start the indoor for the T-ball. And they got a new coach this year. It's called me.
Awesome.
So I'll be coaching the T-ball with another North American guy. He's from the U.S. of A., but lives over here and plays on my team. Did I mention this last week? Maybe not.
No.
Anyway, so yeah, so he also has a son, and so this around the same age as my kids, and so the recruiting starts. Now we're going to try to get as many kids from our neck of the woods to come out and build a program.
Okay.
The end. Hashtag the end. But that, I see what you mean by spring is about to sprung, maybe.
That your team might be the best photographed T-ball team in the history of T-ball.
Possibly. At least in Germany.
Okay.
But the pickings are slim. So
T-ball baseball cards for sure, though.
Oh, I will do baseball cards for the entire organization. But yes, we will definitely do. I will actually physically make them. I will shoot them like portraits for everybody. Like we'll just blow through. Like we'll have a photo day where I do a photo factory of here's the setup. Boom, boom, boom. Everybody just roll through. You get one and done. Everybody, right?
Yeah.
Two in a queue. You know what that means?
No.
It means a double knockout tournament and a barbecue at the end. So you show up, you're guaranteed two in a queue.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. You don't want the two. You want to like five in a queue.
Yeah, have more than the two.
Yeah, go for the four and a Q. Four and a Q means you just blew through everybody.
Okay.
So other than that, not much going on here. Reminder, monthly photo challenge for February is, well, I wrote it down, but we changed it on the fly last week, didn't we?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah, please like us, hashtag. No, the hashtag was, hey, hosers. So hashtag that on Instagram, and we'll definitely, we'll hey you right back.
Okay.
Did you, so I'm guessing if nothing's going nothing. On, the answer to this next question, yeah. I won't say I shot anything interesting specifically, but I do just, hey, another, you know, haven't talked about the X100 in a while. Little update. I love bringing it places. Like, we went out for dinner on last, was a Sunday. We came home. We had a busy weekend, an uncharacteristically busy weekend this time of year. We took the kids. Oh, it's what it was. My wife was sick, so Saturday morning I took the kids swimming, and then Sunday morning I took the kids ice skating by myself, which was the first time I'd done that. It went okay. Not great. I mean, it's a lot of people there, and I don't trust them, like their own abilities of skating. So they, you know, I'm very careful with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they have helmets, so you know we're fine.
Okay.
So we did that, and then I said, you know what? We rarely go out for dinner. We don't take the kids out for dinner. Like, and if we do, it's like, yeah, we'll go grab. We call it doner. You call it like a shawarma or something like that.
Sure.
I don't know what you call it there. Probably doner.
Yeah, they call it that too. Doner, I thought.
Doner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So slightly different. Same idea. So we'll take him to that. And I said, no. You know what? It's been a great weekend. I said to my wife, let's the four of us go out for a nice dinner. We even got dressed up, too. The kids, too. The kids got... Emily wore her nice dress. My son wore his suit or something, a vest or whatever it was. We got dressed up, and I thought, well, I got to bring my camera. And I would never have... I would not have bothered bringing the 40D, or not wanted to, just because it's bulky. And the X100 just fits right in my pocket.
Okay.
So there you go. So not tremendously interesting, the photos themselves. I just snapped a couple at the restaurant. Just to keep, but there's that, and then a couple other places too, like walking the kids to school in the morning. I decided, hey, I'm gonna snap a photo of them and their friends, you know, that they walk to school with, because it's kind of a big deal. They're very excited to do that in the pre-dawn hours, and the camera was great for that. It's like I would not have brought my 40D. I just don't care, but this one, no problemo. So no, did not shoot anything interesting. Turns okay. out.
All right.
So maybe we'll roll into the photo challenge.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. I actually have to find them. I didn't put them up. Did you? Do you have them up?
What? Yeah, I have them up.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, you start then. Let's have a look at yours.
Okay. My mask. Photo is the close up. Uh-huh. And this is a kind of cool looking, I don't know what you call it, sculpture. It's not a statue. It's a sculpture that was made for the 2010 Olympics that were held in Vancouver. And as I mentioned on last week's big rant about the gym selfies, my gym where I go for exercise when I decide to do that is at the Olympic.
Oh, is that what a gym is for?
Yeah, when I decide to
and selfies
to get off the couch. Yeah. It's for exercise, and so I work out at the Olympic Oval.
Hang on, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah,
but I'm going to. Extra selfies?
Is that hashtag extra selfie?
I'm asking. I'm asking for a friend.
I think you made that up. I don't.
No, I'm making it up. I'm making it up. I'm saying, can it be a thing?
It can be. We can start it.
Extra selfies?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You just derailed my train of thought. But
no,
anyways,
but you're going to the gym.
Yeah, and they have two of these sculptures. One is, and I think they're made from recycled metal parts, and it's all part of, again, the whole theme behind a lot of the stuff at the Oval is recycled stuff.
Garbage.
And so they have the entire roof of this massive building is made out of beetlewood, like old damaged beetlewood from mm-hmm. Beetle infested wood from the interior of BC.
And
so
looks cool.
So it looks really cool, and these sculptures are pretty cool. So there's one of a volleyball player. And then there's one of the speed skater that I used in my photo. So I showed, like, the challenge photo is the close-up, but I just, for a context shot, I included a photo of the full sculpture. And to the camera left is just all windows. I mean, it's a little bit, it's probably I'm going to say 20 meters from where this staircase is. And some on some days, depending on how much sun there is on that side, you can get really bright light. This is just an overcast day that's just kind of, you know, feathering some soft light on the statue.
And windows are northeastern.
Sure, I'm not.
I'm
good
asking.
At that.
I don't know. I've never seen the statue. I'm just going. I've been in the Oval once or twice.
This shot, if it helps you, is taken in the morning at about, yeah, I don't know, 8:45 a.m.
Okay.
So, anyways, I had this shot in mind. So I needed manual focus. Then I thought, okay, I'm going to use manual focus. What would be a context that I would use manual focus and it would make sense to use manual focus? And so I thought, okay, well, it's going to probably at this time, I'm, you know, not that I would need to do this shot manual focus, but I certainly think it can be useful. So I decided that I was going to shoot with my 85 mil lens. So I put that on the camera before I went to the gym, just brought my camera with me. And then I thought, okay, I can always grab a selfie afterwards at the gym.
Sure.
I decided, okay, how am I going to do manual focus? So I put, you know, what I started with is I just switched the lens to manual and then tried to focus through the eyepiece.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you call it? The eyepiece?
Sure. The viewfinder, but not, yeah, a viewfinder, is it?
Sure. And I took, I don't know, two or three shots, and I was really focused on the spot in the image that I wanted to be in focus. So I shot on like an F2, just making this more of a challenge.
We're talking about the close-up now?
We're talking about the close-up. So the other one's, okay, just a snapshot. It doesn't matter. I just wanted
to
give
you manually focus that?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a wider shot, so it didn't pose as much of a challenge. So I did that,
correct,
one just through the eyepiece, and then I thought, okay, so here's the photo now. I'm going to go close up with the 85-1.8 lens, which is, you know, really shallow depth of field. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to pick a target in this image, which it turns out I decided on the gear in the eye, because we usually talk about focusing on the eye. Well, in, mm-hmm, this case, there's no plane for the eye for anything to focus on, so the gear that's acting as the eye is in sort of behind the eye socket. So I focused on the edge of that, and then I tried to do it through the eyepiece, and I took two or three, and I found it very difficult. So then I remembered, this is how little I do this, I remembered, you know, for video, the helpful trick with manual focus is to, you know, use the LED and then zoom in, and then just
the
basically
LCD.
Or sorry, the LCD screen, zoom right in, focus manually on the exact spot. So I just, you know, I'm zoomed right in onto this particular spot, and then I get my focus, and then I just basically zoom back out and make sure that it's the composition, that I didn't move the camera or anything, and then, mm-hmm, did it that way. So using the LCD as my way to focus, and then took the shot, tried a few different compositions, and I liked this one. So I liked it much better in black and white as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm just guessing. I've not seen it in color.
Color does nothing for it. Like
there aren't any colors.
Yeah. Yeah. So except for, yeah, the mixed lighting, because you've got overhead some, you know, whatever fluorescence, whatever they are, those lights, yeah, mixing with the window light, and then it just gets a little bit muddled. So I liked it much better as black and white, and then just played with the contrast and clarity and whatnot.
Those specifically, those two lighting styles, like the whatever that fluorescent is, because it used to be, oh, those are fluorescent. Now you don't know. Now it could be a lot of different things. Like it's such a wide open game in terms of color temperature. But that sort of fluorescent look mixed with sunlight is probably my least favorite.
Mm-hmm. It's not good.
It is awful. I mean, if you're mixing tungsten with daylight, obviously you're going to get a big difference. I still kind of like it. Like, you can make it look something. Like, all right, well, this is, you know, you're going a little warm on this and have blue, you know, blue highlights or something like that coming in. But that fluorescent is just ugly. So black and white's a good choice. So manual focus using the just the regular eyepiece. And the 85 mil wide open, no fun, huh?
No, not fun at all. Very difficult.
Yeah, and that's why we don't do it.
Yeah, my eyesight's not. I mean, I wear glasses, and that makes them, I guess, normal. And so let's assume that what they say with my glasses on, that my vision's corrected to 20/20. Yeah, still can't do that through the eyepiece.
Yeah. Do you ever adjust the focus in your eyepiece though?
I have. I tried that as well. And it's still, I mean, I just can't tell. It looks sharp. And as I move the barrel on the lens for focus, you know, back and forth a little bit, I have a really hard time with the subtle change, seeing the difference. Like, I just can't, it looks sharp to me. And then I take the shot and zoom in. I'm like, no, it missed. And so, so I just think my eyes aren't good enough. And therefore I need the bigger, I need to enlarge it and do it via the LCD.
Yes. I wouldn't take it personally. I don't think it's just you. Just focusing these DSLRs manually, they're not designed for that. They're designed for autofocus. Now, the older cameras, the older SLRs, pre-autofocus, are designed specifically for manual focus. And so you have the diopter in there, so you can, there's a couple different things you can do and like make the lines line up or whatever ends up happening. The different styles, you can physically see what's going on. Whereas here, just to keep things simple, they don't. It's. I know. Apparently, you know, you can buy the different focusing screens and add them on. You're not going to.
Yeah.
You're just going to shoot as is. So with those cameras, yeah, I don't use manual focus, and you probably didn't need it for this. I thought maybe. You know, I thought you were going to go out of your way and find something that really needed manual focus. I don't blame you for not doing it, though. Because forget it. You don't, when does that come up?
Yeah.
You know, it's very rare that you find yourself in a position where you really need to manual focus
something.
Well,
I can't remember one. That's the thing. That's why I haven't manual focused in, I don't know, 2 years.
Right.
So right. the only time is for video that I ever, and I hardly take any video, and and oftentimes it's my wife on her phone, so that's the video that she grabs.
Yeah. Okay.
But I just thought if I just posted this photo of this, it's hard, like I had to include a context photo because this is just weird otherwise. Like it's art. But the art is much more cool when you actually see the full photo. But the full photo to me is not as good as the focus, not the photo that's kind of, again, more of a portrait of this figure. To me, it's a better photo.
But
do you agree?
Background sucks. The close-up is?
The close-up's a better photo, like, as far as, like, you know, cool. But yeah, the background is just terrible because it's a staircase and it's on this pedestal. It's a nice staircase.
It did well with the
And there's
the
glass and stuff in behind it. So it's a nicer staircase, but... Again, the beauty of these DSLRs, like look how close that is, and it's gone. Like in the close up, there's nothing. It's pretty cool. Like I always marvel at that when you see in context how close all that muddled stuff is behind, and it's completely erased by just that 85mm lens is fantastic.
Hashtag bokeh.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It is fantastic. Go out and get, if you don't have one, we've been talking about it only every episode for the last 5 years. Get one. We like them. All right. I went a different way. I went and I took my the X100. I thought this was taken the same day as the other one, the other challenge. We kind of stacked them up. Am I giving away too much now?
No.
Okay. People, you're okay with the fact that we recorded two episodes at once. So this was the day of my fail, the front one from last week that was not good at all.
Okay.
But this is the X100. I wanted to go out and take some street photography style stuff, and which I want to do more of now that I have that camera. But as we found out last week, it's not easy to do because with the equivalent 35mm focal length, you can't just sit back and pick people off. You kind of have to get in there. So they know you're taking their picture. Or you have to get you know, start being a really good actor and act like you're not taking their picture in order to sort of get that natural incident.
Right.
Right. So anyways, for the manual focus shot, I wanted to find something that was going to be very, very difficult. The autofocus on the X100 is good, not as fast as DSLR, but good. But where it really shines is the manual focus is fantastic. If you use a couple different options you can use in the viewfinder, and I tend to use the electronic viewfinder mostly, because it's really good, and it's got a different couple different focus peaking options, and I use the edge detect, whatever it's called. I'm not sure what it's called anymore.
Okay.
But I use that. I don't use the zoom in one. I use the one that just shows you the edges. Peaking? I think it's called peaking. I use that. Anyways, that's what I happen to like. And so I chose a very difficult one that would probably stump a DSLR. The end.
I don't understand what I'm looking at.
Well, it takes a while, man.
I've looked at it for a while. I still don't understand what I'm looking at.
Art.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm not the only one, I'm sure, that doesn't understand. So what have you done here?
Did Andy Warhol have to explain the soup cans? The soup cans.
I don't get it.
It's a window.
Okay.
Of a liquor store.
Okay.
A wine store, especially a wine store in Tübingen. And there is, I'm shooting part of it. You can see where the reflection of the city, the downtown, the Altstadt is. That's the Marktplatz, the main square, where the old half-timber buildings and the cobblestones. That you can see.
Yeah.
But out of focus.
Right.
And so that's two-thirds or three-quarters, two-thirds of the image.
Yeah, and is the reflection.
That is the reflection. So you can see through the reflection, you can see parts of the shelves on the left side. You can see where some bottles are stuck in that sort of funky little board sticking out. But then it goes right over, and because of the way the light hits it, it's much darker on the one side of the window, and so now we can see that part. We see through the window, and then it slightly overlaps. Now if you look closely in the back behind the reflection, you can see the rest of the wine rack.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not for me.
Oh, wow.
I'm not saying you didn't gain clear focus, because mission accomplished.
Well, it wasn't about the focus. The focus was the challenge part. So I just, like I said, I specifically chose something that would be difficult to focus.
Right.
If you try to focus on this, sometimes it might focus on the buildings that are reflecting in the background. It might focus on the people walking in the middle ground. Sometimes it'll focus on the. Should I just name it everything that's in the photo?
No. Here's what this photo reminds me of in a weird way. Uh-huh. And there's no way you would have arrived here. Have you seen? Oh, I'm sure you've seen it. How many times have you seen the movie Happy Gilmore?
Oh, not in a long, long time.
Okay, so there's a whole, I don't know, maybe a 30-second sequence scene right at the beginning of the movie where mm-hmm. he runs through the list of jobs that he had, mm-hmm. you know, gas station attendant, and then he puts the thing between his legs, the hose, and shoots the gasoline, and it's, you know, he does the janitor, and he puts the mop between his legs and, you know, makes inappropriate actions, and it goes through all the jobs with the things between his legs. This is the wine bottle between the legs move right here.
No, that's exactly what I was getting at. That was the subtext of this photo. Yeah.
Because you've had a buddy that's done that for sure, like at New Year's Eve, the bottle of champagne. Yeah, for sure you've been a part of that.
Oh, yeah, you're that guy. You're the buddy. No, I even took this one step further. I patiently waited until people came into the frame.
Right.
That walked past me and knew I wanted them to be out of focus, but I also wanted them to be motion blurred. So I slowed this down to probably 1/15th of a second so that there is a little bit of motion blur added to it.
Right.
And shot this in black and white. So this is actually a number of our last photo challenges all combined. This is straight out of camera, like last week.
Yeah.
This is manual focus for this week. This is spot metered from the week a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And from our challenge from last year, Happy Gilmore themed. So that part was obvious. Everybody looked at this and went, oh, Happy Gilmore. Yeah, get that out of the way. The rest of it is just art. How did he choose to make the buildings that out of focus that we could see them, but they were definitely not the focal point? Like, obviously, whether it's the top – the question is it on the right-hand side, the New York Paris wine bottles, which is the one that you focus on, the top one or the bottom one? that's going to be the next, is this dress blue or green?
Right.
Or gold, green or gold, blue or gold. I forget what that meme was. That's what this will be. Do you see the top one or the bottom one first? That's the question we want to know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, this is your Christmas present, so
yeah.
You should start liking it more. All right, this week's topic, it comes from a listener question from Bradley. I don't know if he wants his last name said on the air, but fine, it's Cooper. It's Bradley Cooper, you know him.
Yep.
From the A-Team movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bradley wanted to know about aspect ratios, and his question is, why is 16 by 9 not a print size? Well, it's kind of a long way. I can put a bunch of the things in place and figure it out. But first of all, how did we get, like, what is 16 by 9? I mean, we know it's 16 units wide by 9 high, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a 1.77, essentially, a 1.1 and 7 over 9. 1.77. Or 1.78, they call it, to 1 ratio. How did we get there? Why is that even a thing? The answer is movies.
I was going to say, it's always been that way with movies, right?
No, it's not always. That's the thing. It's,
oh, okay. As long as I can remember.
Right. But you might be that guy from Memento who can't remember stuff.
Okay.
Long, long time ago, when the movies first came out, they were pretty much square. Like, way before our time.
Okay.
They were like, I don't know, 5-4 ratio or something like that. But kind of they shot pretty square. That was the deal. And it varied a little bit, but then the TV came along. So that's pre-TV. They're pretty much square. TV comes along. And it is pretty much square.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the bulk of TV, the bulk of existence, TV was a 4-3 ratio.
Right.
Which is 1.33-1. That's what they call it, 1.33. And that's almost since the beginning. I think at the beginning it was a little bit different, but not too far off. And so the movie people, Louis B. Mayer, I'm assuming, whoever, got a little bit, they felt threatened. So who's going to come to the movies if they can just watch it at home on TV on the same screen but smaller?
Right.
So they said, all right, you know what? We have to offer an experience. And thus, the concept of widescreen was born. They said, well, we'll make the screen wide. You can't get that at home. People are still going to go to the movies. But with that came just a complete mishmash of aspect ratios. You got 1.66, you got 1.85-1, which is kind of probably the most common one in North America, at least, is 1.85-1. Most movies are filmed that way, unless they're super widescreen, and then they're like 2.35-1 or 2.4-1, they call it. I think it's 2.39-1, if anybody is writing this down. And so that was that was the big appeal, was, hey, we're going to go super wide. And that's where those started. And then home movies came around. And now we have a mess, right?
Yeah.
We have these widescreen movies. We have square TVs. Visionaries like Stanley Kubrick recognized while he was shooting his films for the widescreen, he knew eventually they're going to end up on home video, so I'm going to shoot them square, crop them for the widescreen, and then they'll be properly framed in their squares later on for eternity. That was his move.
Right.
No one else did that, just him. Anyways, so that was going on for a long time. You used to see letterboxing and messing around, and after a while, TV gets a resurgence with HD. HD, how long has that been around? 10 years?
Sure.
More than that,
probably.
A little
bit more than that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. It's got to be closer to... Well, for the rich guys, it's been around for 15 years, I bet.
Sure.
For the super rich. And so there was a resurgence. And at the time, they had to decide on a format. Like, what's the aspect ratio going to be? And first of all, I can't believe that they actually decided, because everything was a war for a long time. You know, MP3s almost lost out to MP2s. Remember the Blu-ray versus HD DVD debates?
Yep.
Sony versus Betacam versus VHS. There's a whole lot of this stuff. But I guess they decided on 16:9 because it sort of best accommodated everybody. Meaning the four, you know, all the different aspect ratios could essentially sort of fit into the 1.77 aspect ratio, the 16:9.
Okay.
So, you know, the 185 will be cropped a little bit, have black stripes a little bit. You can get where I'm going. But remember when you were in school and you kind of had to graph a bunch of points that were not really in a line? So you sort of drew that line in the middle and it just kind of roughly estimated? No?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Okay, that's what this is. That's what 16:9. That's why 16:9 exists.
Okay.
Okay? Meanwhile,
I'm still with you.
It's getting murky. It's going to get better now.
Is there a test at the end?
No. To see if you're still awake. That's all.
Okay. All right.
We're coming out of the woods now.
Okay.
So, meanwhile, in the photo world, there's all different separate, relatively less confusing format choices. Early on, the square was very, like, have you seen the old pictures of like your grandparents took? Mm-hmm. Probably square.
Yep.
They probably took them on that little brownie, and that was it. There was no other aspect ratios. But then they came out with, you know, there was the much larger, like the view cameras. Like you can get the large format cameras, which would be like a 4x5 negative. And some of them would be huge. Like I've seen, like Chris Marquardt has an 8x10 camera, which is massive negative. Why did they choose 4x5 and 8x10?
I don't know.
Yeah, I have no clue either. I was hoping you knew. I really have no idea.
Okay.
However, that kind of, the 4x5 makes a very nice 8x10.
Right.
Print. Right? So that's a very common print size, 8x10. Meanwhile, they invent another format that we know as 35mm, which they call in Germany, they call Kleinbild, which means small photo. Ironically, now it's known as full frame, but it's called small photo, small picture.
All relative.
It is, yeah. At the time, it was like, all right, here's the cheap one. You're not shooting a 4x5. Here we go. Or a medium format. Now, those are 35 millimeters, and the aspect ratio on those are?
What we have now, 4x6.
Or, let's reduce that.
2x3?
Yep. Big number first, but yes, 3x2.
3x2?
So it's 3:2. 3:2. Well, no, you're right. It is 4x6 when you get it printed, but the aspect ratio is 3:2.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
It's a good point.
Right.
No, yeah. But you're not wrong. Put it that way. And so now you have common print sizes. For larger photos, or for smaller photos, you have what you just said, the 4x6. Very, very common photo. And hence, those are common. They make frames with a 4x6 on them.
Right.
Like for a 4x6 photo. They make photo albums at the time for 4x6. Unless you wanted a 5x7, which I have no idea why 5x7 exists. it would have to do to me with the size of the paper that you could buy, and then it would be you can get four shots per page, and that must be the economics of it.
Okay.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah,
I should have looked
that
up.
It's got to be something like that. It has to be.
Well, there's a reason. Like there's certain pictures even now that you go get that are slightly cheaper than others because it has to do with how big the paper is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're getting an odd shape. Well, they have to throw out a bunch of paper, so you're paying for that. So, but oddly, even though, I mean, for the most part, most people taking their in the 70s and 80s and into the 90s, most people taking their film in to get processed at the lab were probably taking in 35mm film, which is 3x2, yet 8x10 is stuck around as a fairly common print size.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird. I don't know why.
And why doesn't 10 by 14 exist if 5 by 7 exists? I've never seen it. It doesn't exist. 11 by 14 exists.
Yeah.
That's just, again, seems like almost random. They just pick numbers.
Yeah, that might be it. Good job, Bradley. Thanks for tearing this Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
So, but that stuck around, which means people have to crop, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can get 8x12, and that showed up, and it
took a while, though, that one.
It did take a while, but I think once it became more popular, once people understood what cropping was or wasn't, maybe with the advent of the computer where you could see your image, I honestly don't know. Or you could crop it, maybe. Then you could say, look what I'm missing. I want to get the 8x12. I'm assuming at that point, companies started manufacturing frames that would fit. Because if you don't have frames that fit, I find that a problem here in Germany. Like, there's certain prints I want to get, and they won't print the same size as the frames.
Mm-hmm. So it's a problem everywhere, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
So I have to hack the system, and maybe Bradley can do this too. But so my move is, I have these frames that are, now they go by centimeters over here, so bear with me, the conversion. An 8x12 is essentially 20 by 30 centimeters.
Okay.
And so if I get the 20 by 30 print, the frames I have, the frames that I really like, the fantastic frames, they require a 22 by 30. That's a problem. Because now all of a sudden I got a little, little missing piece at the bottom in the mat.
Yeah.
The mats themselves are 22 and a half, or 20, they're 22 by 30.
Okay.
So my move is, now I can get a 30 by 45 print done for not much more than a 20 by 30, which if you back it out, you'll realize that is actually a 22 and a half by 30 images if you build them into one.
Right.
So that's what I end up having to do to get those printed properly. I can only buy two at a time, which is not very expensive, and then I cut them myself and put them in. They fit perfectly.
Okay.
Which is what Bradley might have to do to get a 16x9, which we haven't even got to yet.
Or the other game you can play is you can essentially double mat, like, for the difference of an inch around, and then cut your photo. Like, there's lots of workarounds, but they're a pain in the butt. That's the problem.
This one's relatively simple.
Yeah, you're describing is relatively simple. Sometimes if you can't make it fit exactly to what your frame size is, then yeah, you have to deal with a matting around it to bring the mat to the size of your photo.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in terms of 16x9 photography, I believe it is not really an option. Like, I don't think anybody offers it, because the ratio, not necessarily the actual size, because you can get 9x16. I don't think they offer that anyway, or 18x32, or you start doing the math on your own. But you get what I'm getting at. That ratio doesn't seem to be offered, because I believe it's relatively new. No one's ever really shot it in the photography world. It hasn't existed. It is a crossover from video, because cameras are essentially all hybrid now. I mean, with your phone too. Everything shoots. Like, your DSLR will shoot video if you buy one now. I don't think you can buy one without video.
Probably not.
And that video is going to be 16x9, and thus, maybe they have the. Actually, I think my Fuji has a 16x9 still option. I don't really know, because I'll never use it. So, that's where we're at. So if nobody's making 16x9 frames, then nobody's going to offer 16x9 prints, in my opinion. Someone's going to have to break the ice on this one.
And I could see a point to the 16x9 for a specific purpose, such as shooting stills for a slideshow. where, mm-hmm. again, to me, yeah. if I, yeah, I could see that. Okay,
but that's not a print,
gonna be
though, is it?
No, this is going to be displayed on a TV, and I want to shoot it for, you know, the proper framing to suit the TV. Then, yeah, 16:9 would be great. That's the only circumstance that I can come up with where I would really need that to be the size. Or prefer yes. that. Let's say not need it, because you can work around that as well, but just prefer that to be the size.
Yes, agreed. I personally don't, I don't like that aspect ratio. It just does, it doesn't look like a thing. I don't like it in video either. I shoot it because it is. I don't want to confuse the end viewer and go, oh, no, I only shoot in a round, you know? Like I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be difficult. But 185 is 185 for a reason. Goodfellas, I'm pretty sure, is shot 185. Pulp Fiction would be like 235. It'd be like the widescreen. But if you watch Goodfellas, I think it's, we can agree, good movie. Scorsese knew what he was doing. Still does, but that to me that is what movies look like, or that's what photography looks like. So even 3:2, I'm okay with. So there we are.
Okay.
So will it catch on? That's the question, Adam. Will 16:9 catch on and make Bradley happy?
Yes.
I say no. I say he's alone in this fight.
Okay. And, I think it will.
The economics are working out against him.
Okay.
Is my guess.
We'll revisit this in 3 to 5 years.
I'll mark it down on my calendar.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. Monthly photo challenge reminder, February. That is, it's wide open. Also, please shoot at 16:9.
Sure.
We will only accept images shot in 16:9 or another aspect ratio.
Yeah. We'll accept anything. A picture of your foot.
Hashtag Hey Hosers this month,
okay.
Or Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. We'll see that as well. But Hey Hosers, because we find it amusing. Photo challenge for next week.
Yeah.
Are you waiting for me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We did a couple weeks ago. We did the dominant color blue. We're doing that again, except red. Dominant color red.
Okay.
Try to be better this time.
Mine was amazing. Yours
I
was
know.
Terrible.
Oh, that's right. Mine was the heartbreaker.
Yeah. I showed it to my kids just to make sure I wasn't being unnecessarily rough on you and said, what do you think of this photo? And they said, did Al do that?
No, they didn't say that.
And they said it like that. Did, and like with a real sense of distaste, like, Al do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was there. So that's it. That's all I got to say about that. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm just go ahead. Your son should buy a neck guard. That's all I'm saying. Because it's coming. It's going to be heater too. You know what? I might bust a knuckleball off just to throw him off.
Okay.
He doesn't know. What's he going to do with a knuckleball to the throat?
Yeah, it'll hurt either way.
It's going to hurt, but he's not going to know which way to get out of the way. It'll break any which way. All right. Come on, we went to a weird place.
Okay.
Manual focus, that's the photo challenge.
No, it's not.
No, that was the one we just did.
Red.
Yeah,
red.
Dominant color, I wrote it down wrong, is what I'm saying to you.
Okay, dominant color red.
Dominant color red, but you have to manually focus. You don't have to.
Now I'm just confused.
You do what you want. All right, websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And you can find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.